Pound Cake is recording with us today.
Yay!
Is that a pet, an animal?
Pound Cake is a cat.
I had a feeling.
He's a one-eyed orange boy. He likes to be the center of attention at all times. One time Leslie came over and we recorded together, and Pound Cake sat on the mixing board
and just fully sat upon it.
We'll see how long he can sit next to me. Right now sometimes he just sits and stares at me for hours.
Do you sing Enter Sandman to him? Sleep with one eye and just like pick him up.
I should
like
tonight.
A type of,
yeah. I'm gonna do that tonight. Maybe he has a stuffed animal. He has an on again, off again relationship with.
I understand.
Maybe I should talk about this in the actual recording. I'm gonna talk about it.
Oh, we're recording now. You can do it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, so Pound Cake has an on again, off again relationship with an octopus named Maurice. Who was given to me by my boyfriend. And Pound Cake decided that he would like to date Maurice. So he and Maurice have like a thing. But then the other cat, one of the other cats, Odin, peed on Maurice. So we washed Maurice several times. Pound Cake wanted nothing to do with him for at least a couple of months. And then recently, he's been jumping up on the chair and cuddling with Maurice again. Mm-hmm. So they have, they're back together.
Well, that was like sabotage. That
I know.
Not...
Yeah. Odin is a like little bastard, an evil little bastard. That's what he does in this house. He destroys good things for the other cats.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh man.
He's like, oh, you like this? Sabotage. Let me pee on it.
I made it better.
I mean, I know some people like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if only people were interested in cat piss fetish, I guess, that then I could maybe just make some money off
them.
Just
really, really dig the smell of ammonia.
That's a very specialized OnlyFans.
There's got to be somebody out there.
That's tough.
If you're listening.
I mean, good luck. Entrepreneurs.
Yeah. If you're listening and you might be and you're interested in a cat coming over and peeing on your couch for a small
for money.
Fee.
Yeah.
Well, is there a business venture?
Let me show you a cat.
Have I got a service for you?
Yeah. Have I got a cat for you? Welcome to Fangs for the Memories, the only podcast where we offer a cat to come over to your house and piss on your couch for a small fee. Leslie and I will share it.
Yeah.
It's my cat, but whatever.
That's fine.
I'm Kate.
Should we just keep going? Yes, yes.
All right, I'm Kate. Now. My pronouns are she, her, they, them. I live in South Philadelphia's Hellmouth. Wait, is that right? Whatever. We're off the rails.
Already?
I'm joined by my co-host, Leslie.
Hi, I'm Leslie. My pronouns are they and them, and I am also in the Hellmouth of Philadelphia.
Woohoo!
And I am sadly cat pee free.
Well, I don't know. It all depends on how you look at it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about perspective.
Yeah.
and we are joined by for the second time our guest and friend, I would venture to say.
I would hope so.
Toro.
Yay! Hi, I'm Mike Castoro. Pronouns he, him, they, them. And I am cat free, cat pee free, but you know, who knows what journey my life is going to take me on. Every day is a
There's
winding
There's always road. Tomorrow to get some
to
cat
get, Yeah.
Perfect.
Stop.
We're going to have cat pee jokes throughout the episode. Woo! Oh,
love it. Take a page out of Donovan's book.
Oh, yeah. We're going to hyper-focus on cat pee.
Good. Great. I love it. Yeah.
What do we do? What are we doing here?
It's been a while since
we've brushed off the dust.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Guys.
Well, we've had, you know, Leslie moved.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we've had a few episodes, but we've had a little bit of a quiet fall.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're like, we're going to go like full force into the end of season 5 now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The end of the year for us is fully packed, which I love. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Same.
So yeah, so yeah, let's do some vibes. How about a vibe check? How what's on your heart today?
My heart.
Mike, what's on your heart?
I was telling before, like, I'm just so happy to be out of the day job right now. I'm like, oh, the couch. I sat on the couch and it just like ate me for a few minutes. Oh, so good. Oh, so good. No insult to you guys. I was like, oh, I'm like, devour me. take me, couch. What's on my mind? I saw the little teaser thing for Sonic 3 with Shadow's Arthur Fist and the shoes. No, but the director posted a picture, like, sort of obscured on set of, like, you know how they did, like, those mannequins for them to act against, like the Sonic mannequin,
yeah,
the Tails
mannequin. Yeah, the tennis ball and a stick or whatever.
Yep. So they zoomed, but they had like actual molds of Sonic and molds of Tails for, what's his face?
James
Marsden and them to act against. Yeah. And they made one of Shadow, or at least they're alluding that they did, because they zoomed in on his really fucking fly ass kicks. His sneakers are dope. And and his clenched Arthur style fist. And I'm like,
oh my god.
I love that. With his gloved hands. Oh my god, that's great.
The ultimate life form.
I watched both of those movies back to back. And then when I saw the tease, like the end of credits teaser for Shadow, I literally screamed so loud my roommate at the time had to come in and check on me.
I was surprised that they did it note for note as far as like the setup of Shadow. I thought it was going to be like some kind of other Genesis story. I'm like,
oh, weird. There's... Yeah, no, he's fully grown in a lab, dude.
Yeah.
So fully cool.
What is that? Hyperbaric chamber. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know the word. Oh, I'm geek. Come on.
So ready. Big the cat better be in there too, or I'm going to fucking riot.
There's a cat? What? Cool. I'm interested.
you're not too familiar with the Sonic
verse? Sonic the Hedgehog?
I mean, I've seen him. I know of him.
Hey, we're going to watch both of those movies back to back.
Wait, does he still have teeth, or did they get rid of them?
No, he still has teeth, but they fixed them.
Last I knew of him.
Yeah.
Does he have vampire teeth now?
No, he's got, like, cool, cute teeth.
Okay, cute teeth.
I think his canines are a little sharper. I think they are a little bit...
They're a little more animalistic, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, he looks more like an animal.
Okay, that's good.
They made him damn close to adorable. Like, it was really a big swap from the first.
Yeah.
Didn't in the last Sonic they made him like he's kind of an adult now and he's like maybe a little hot? Am I thinking about something else?
No, that's the Sonic universe in general. The fan base is
You
unintentionally hit the nail so hard.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I personally know. I have a really quick funny story about that though. So there was one guy. We were just chilling. We were literally video game friends, and you know, I'm like, hey, you're queer and you love like all this stuff and Sonic stuff, let's hang out. So we hung out and he's like, yeah, I really love Sonic. I'm like, yeah, he's fucking dope as hell, like how do you not love him? And then he like told me, I you know what, I won't tell the story, but it was a couple of details where like he loves Sonic.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh, that's not what I that's not
Sonic.
that's not what I thought.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. And it's, you know, it's definitely cool, but I was just like, oh, that's not what I thought we bonded over. And I was just surprised. That's all.
Oh, man.
I was like, oh,
that's fine.
That's fine.
It's not, but you know.
But it was a, just, I don't want to say deceived or deceptively kind of like, I was like, oh, that's not what I meant.
Yeah, it was a little like, yeah, a little comedy of errors.
It's
yeah,
I'm funny like, I just, when you have just, to be like, I'm not the weirdo, though. And he's like, oh, no, dude, come on. Why would you deceive me like that?
Right? I mean, it's just the Venn diagram of weird only intersected so much. That's all. And yeah. I think, yeah, mm-hmm. And that's all. And that's all. But yeah, that does happen in the Sonic universe a lot, especially with the fans. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, I just like cool games. And they go fast. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so that was my day, was the Sonic 3 trailer. Nice. Not even snippet.
Just a little teaser. I love that.
And just seeing my friends' heads explode.
My day was Spotify Unwrapped, baby.
Oh yeah. There
it's is. Spotify Unwrapped Day on Twitter.
Yeah. And, social media ablaze.
Big day.
And people love to talk about it. It's fun. And I love, yeah. I don't know. I love like a bit that everyone is in on for the day. It's like really like the best kind of Twitter day, you know? Yeah.
It's almost like when Pokemon Go first came out, like almost. Mm-hmm. It's like,
oh yeah,
everyone's doing that thing.
It's collective.
You know? Or like when Trump got COVID. Days that like was, that are great. Nope.
There were random high fives.
Bolsonaro got sick.
Yeah like mm-hmm. the first, you know, shit. Couple of times. When Bolsonaro got bit by a ostrich or an emu or something, that was a great day.
I forgot about that.
But yeah, and it's like, it's so funny because people start with their like, you know, oh, I'm posting my like, I'm serious. I'm posting my top five. And then you start getting it. Everything gets more memed and memed and memed until
yes,
like,
yep.
only understandable to people who are on Twitter all day long. And
yeah, the really
and
poisoned.
Just like really, yeah, just like brain rotted. And I love it because it's like, yeah, go deep. Like
the twisted spiral of memeing. Yeah.
Yeah. And like then people like so for some weird reason, Burlington, Vermont showed up as like,
oh, yeah. So they showed like. Mm. It was like the location, I guess.
Yeah,
like,
of like where most people listen to the music that you like.
You yeah, liked,
like,
yeah.
Like if you like this, you should run away to this town. That's how I took it.
Kind of, but so like there were all these really funny GIFs then that were like me and the girlies packing up and heading to Burlington, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, so this is funny. Like, you know, all of the that little like aunt who. Has like a little hobo.
Oh, a little stick. Trundle yes. on a stick.
Yeah, that guy, he went to Burlington today. You know, just like the truly, the stuff that like if you're on every day, all day, you're like, yeah, I get that. You know, and like, so it's funny. A fun little secret that we brain poisoned people get to share because we don't get a lot. And so it was a fun day on Twitter.
I love
and
that. That's wonderful.
I will share one. I got this year I got into Linkin Park as a bit and then I got nice. Into Linkin Park for real.
That happened to and me there. With Billy Joel.
Oh no.
I got into Billy
Joel. Oh Leslie,
joke.
No.
Leslie, what
now
happened?
I really like Billy Joel.
No, you can't. I am from New York.
Trust me.
I am from Long Island. I grew up in the neighboring town he grew up in, and it was
Whoa.
Awful. It
oh
was so
God.
Bad. Because if you ever learned an instrument, it's like, oh, do you know that Billy
Joel
song?
Do you like, yeah, you know, have yeah, you ever heard you of Billy
Piano
Joel?
Yeah.
You know Piano Man, right? I'm like, oh, please shut that
got
ball
to,
off.
Yeah.
Please don't. No, I'm like, 9 o'clock on a fucking Saturday. I know.
Oh, God. If somebody sings that at karaoke, it's time to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, yeah. because that, yeah, it's like 11 minutes long.
Yeah. You're like, come it. On.
I mean, kudos to the dude, but like,
dude, I mean, I think tough. He's fine. He doesn't need kudos.
Yeah. You're right.
I like that one song.
Like what he needs
years.
Is a fucking bunch of
I like
belts.
That Big Shot song because that's like when Billy Joel gets mad. Like he did yeah. a little too much cocaine.
And he.
And oh he, yeah,
and I like how he gets like the faux Italian accent in the middle of it too. You like to be a
yeah.
big shot,
yeah, hey, a bigger shot. I don't pay the taxes, yeah.
And I'm like, sir, as someone who's part Italian, I approve of that joke.
Thank you. Thank you.
But it's tough being a musician near his hometown.
Yeah, I bet.
You teach a piano lesson and there's somebody waiting, just coming around the curve, be like, is he going to play something about the way, not something about the way, just the way you are. Are you going to play that? Is that coming up next? No, no, it's not. Please leave me alone.
That's like the Northeastern version of Freebird. Right. If you're a musician in like Alabama, they fucking ask for Freebird. If you're a musician up in New Jersey, they ask for Billy Joel.
It'd be really funny to just pretend you didn't know who Billy Joel was. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, who?
Who's that? Scenes from an Italian restaurant. Well, that just sounds silly.
Yeah. What, you mean like Mamma Mia? I love that. I love that movie. I love that series of movies.
So grounded and down, like real and down there. The best open mic night, like musician story on Long Island was somebody was reading poems and somebody, that same person was like, oh, I'm done with my first read. Does anybody have any requests for my second? And someone screamed, "Free Bird!" And I fucking died. I still laugh at asking a poet for Free Bird. That was
what if they did
really awesome.
Like they knew all the lyrics, so they just did like a spoken word, like fucking what kind of William poet Shatner
test requests.
Yeah, what? She walks in beauty. Like, what the fuck?
She was serious, and she was like, "Yeah, anybody have any requests?" Like, as if we all knew where the first poem came from. Maybe it was like a collection. Like, I didn't recognize it as like a Chaucer thing. Like, I don't know. Like,
I'm sorry, I only do Chaucer. You know? Chaucer requests, please.
I don't know the Shakespearean sonnet. It was funny.
That's insane.
But yeah, Billy Joel.
That's awesome.
I didn't ironically get... Have I done that? No. I don't think I have.
I didn't even like Linkin Park when I was in high school, which is when you're supposed to like them. Because I was
too cool.
I was too cool in high school, and now I'm not anymore. So I think that's part of what's going on.
Oh, okay. You're trying to revisit the stuff
I was like, huh.
Spurned.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, Linkin Park is for posers. But... Now I'm a poser and I'm okay with it.
I have a friend who's obsessed with Linkin Park still. Yeah. And he's a good dude. They raise like charity event stuff for suicide prevention because obviously Chester, you know, RIP.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. R.I.P.
Didn't they do, I feel like they sang at one of the video game awards, like doing a medley to the Troops.
No. Maybe? Okay. Well, never mind.
That was
I don't
like a
like
thousand
Linkin
years
Park
ago,
anymore.
Though. I want to say like 2013, maybe.
That sounds like
I
a Three
know.
Doors Down type of thing.
It does sound like a Three Doors Down thing.
I don't know. Maybe, like in between Kryptonite and like.
I don't know. I just know that they have that one song, but that's it.
Yeah.
Just Kryptonite. They just play that over and over again for like a 3-hour show.
That's the whole concert.
And everyone's like, play it again.
Video Game Awards 2012. Wow, I am old as fuck.
Or you just have weird memory holes.
I can't remember what my grandma's voice sounds like, but I remember that fucking Linkin Park played the VGAs in 2012. Cool, good brain I've got.
Well, speaking of, what are your vibes, Leslie?
My vibes are that I want to congratulate Seth Green on his voiceover icon award of the year.
Oh shit!
To him by the NAVA Foundation. NAVA, of course, as we all know, is the National Association of Voice Actors. He will be receiving that award at the award at the NAVA Gala in North Hollywood, California, on the 6th, I believe. So thank you.
Let's go.
For your service, Seth Green.
Wait, yeah, what was it for?
Go. Voiceover icon of the year.
Just in general?
Yeah, just like a lifetime, like a lifetime recipient or whatever, like they do with the Oscars, like.
Or like Janet Jackson that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Justin Timberlake pulled her bra off?
No.
He won an award for that.
Oh, cool. I thought that she was.
Thickest move in show business.
Yeah. No, I definitely thought that she was robbed. Justin
Do you
Timberlake.
Know he's been acting since 1987?
Timberlake?
Yes.
Oh my god.
No, Seth Green.
Get it together.
Of course.
Okay.
To my knowledge, I think he's a cool dude. To my knowledge, I don't think there's anything he should be canceled for. You know, like, I think he's
Yeah, we
good.
Talk about this
know.
A lot.
Yeah, the closest thing that he got canceled for was he
the
did
apes.
Like a collaboration of NFTs with Steve Aoki.
Yeah.
Oh, boo.
It's not like cancelable, it's just dumb.
And also it's he like dumb. Circled back on it. He was like, "Hey, a lot of people have informed me that this is like dog shit, so I'm
yeah.
sorry." You know.
No, he seems good.
Other than that, he seems good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. we're fans.
Yeah, I was indirectly a big fan of his stuff because there was always like these weird like Marvel shows that he'd somehow get like a part on.
Yeah, he'll like do a yeah. bit part. Yeah.
Like there was a Hulk Agents of Smash and stuff. I was like, this is a silly, fun, dumb show because speaking of the whole purpose of this, you know, podcast, Les Dushku was a voice in it. She was She-Hulk. And I was like,
oh shit.
And Seth Green was one of the lead Hulks. I was like, that's amazing. So
that's cool.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, cool. So I always find like weird shit of his that like I somehow really like.
See, that's what I want to do. Like, I don't want to be like famous. I don't want to like, you know, I don't need to do like convention signing circuits, although he does do that. I just want to do like bit parts in literally every fucking thing that you listen to. Like, and just have a steady career for like 30 odd years.
I like that. I like that a lot. I wouldn't mind being the quote unquote famous, but like, I'm also really bad on social media. Like, I just shit post like every company. So, like, I don't know if I'm ever going to get.
Yeah, I don't have a strong brand.
Because I'm like, you know, shit's tough out there, guys. Like, these companies don't make it easy. And like, my luck, it's the person who's going to be hiring me. And I'm
yeah,
like,
I'd be
oh,
like,
no.
Bob Iger's on the phone for you, Mike. Like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, ready to curse me out and threaten my family for my last shit post on social media.
That's it for you. You're done.
Done. Oh man.
Well, should we talk about these crazy episodes?
Yeah.
Dude, okay, yes. I have a lot to say.
I like this season, and we got like a weird cross section of the season.
Yes. We did. We really did.
You're definitely right.
Yeah.
Yeah, middle of season 5 is pretty bizarre. But yeah, it's been a general consensus that season 5 is the best. So,
yes.
Kate, would you like to pop open the top?
I would love
to. Wiki?
Do it.
Yes, let me open my demon skin
giant tome.
Tome.
When you like, you have to like
I
blow on
notes.
It. Like,
and there's like dust. Yeah, I blow all the dust off, and I'm like, triangle, January 9th, 2001. While Buffy recovers from losing Riley, emotions are charged between Willow and Anya when they are left in charge of the magic shop, and Willow accidentally conjures an enormous troll that will force them to deal with their less than perfect friendship and their feelings towards Xander. I thought this triangle sort of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Wasn't it
right?
As fuck?
You feel that too?
It was forced as fuck.
Yeah, because I was like, they've never talked about this before.
Yeah. And especially because Xander is so obviously horny only for Riley.
I know. Agreed. He misses the shit out of Riley.
Xander
bromance,
and Anya.
Yeah.
The opening fucking opening scene is Xander and Anya post-sex encounter naked in the bed, and Xander is just talking about how much he misses Riley.
I know. By the way, insane sheets.
Oh my
Those
god.
Those are
yeah,
insane
his whole...
sheets for like a young man.
Yeah.
Right?
They're not blue, cranberry, or dark green.
Right. They're not those things. Those look like sheets from like the Golden Girls or something, right?
Well, it kind of makes sense because he's still in his parents' basement, so those are probably his parents' sheets.
No, also, he lives in the sexy high rise.
Oh, did he make it in the high rise?
Yes.
I'm just like completely losing my mind now. Okay.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I thought he couldn't afford it. Whatever.
but it could very well be the Golden Girls still, because didn't Joss Whedon's dad write for the Golden Girls?
Wait.
Oh my God.
Really?
I'm Googling it right
Swear
now.
To Christ.
Okay.
All right, drum roll. Let's see if I'm right.
really long drum roll.
Yeah. Vamp.
I can't do it.
Tom Whedon wrote for the Golden Girls,
yes!
Alice and the Dick Cavett Show. Holy
Look
shit.
At, look at that. Look at that.
Fucking Nepo baby.
Bitch ass bitch.
Bitch ass Whedon.
Oh, God.
So yeah, it could be the Golden Girls.
Okay. So like this Blanche. the prop closet is right next door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're like, these are nice. They were so shiny.
Oh,
so shiny.
Quick question.
Not
quick
as
question.
Shiny as Buffy's shirt in the beginning,
no,
but
very gloss, very shine.
Yeah. But
super quick question. Is there like spoiler warnings?
No,
like,
we don't give a shit.
Okay.
No.
I was gonna say it's been
some 25 years.
Years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Like, okay.
Too bad for you.
Like holy fucky foreshadowing this whole episode, right? Because of the conversation in the bed. Where it's like,
oh,
I hope that you don't leave me just out of nowhere. And you're like, wah, wah, wah.
I know.
by the way, dude, okay, that whole naked conversation about Buffy being the problem in her relationships,
yeah,
made me so fucking
too.
Sick.
I was like, what? This is what you guys talk about after sex?
If I ever, ever found out my friend said stuff like that about me, I'd be so hurt.
Yeah.
Like, they are horrible friends to each other.
Also, it's two guys. That doesn't make a pattern. Two guys does not a pattern make.
Absolutely.
Like, one is a vampire.
And, first of all, yeah.
And one is a vampire or demon killer. Like, they both have baggage.
Yeah. It's like, it
you know?
That and also, like, every, like, it's so... What's the word I'm looking for? Like, they definitely are all young and young in relationships and mm-hmm. like rude.
Yeah.
Like all y'all are just starting out. Like, that's what Willow's
yeah.
second relationship. And
exactly. And
how many times did Xander almost get killed by banging people? Like,
yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah, he almost got eaten
forget
by,
this?
By a mantis lady. Like, give me a fucking break.
Yeah.
And then
and
later
then
on.
Faith.
Mm-hmm. Faith
yeah.
too. And fucking Ashanti, but that's later.
Oops.
Yeah.
Oh God.
But like, yeah, I just God don't think like two relationships that have not gone well in your teens to early 20s.
That like, cancer dude was pretty nice.
What
he
guy?
Just, you know, had right the guy who hold on. Give
Wait,
me
a guy
a
who had cancer. Oh no,
yeah,
he
that,
sucked.
That went after
oh
the-
no,
well, he was like dealing with trauma. Like he was
well,
kind of nice. I think I have to rewatch. Maybe
you might need or, to like, rewatch that one. That guy sucked.
Because he. It's fine if you're dealing with trauma, but he like brought other people into it.
That's
and
true.
Hurt other people through it. Like that's not okay.
That's true.
I just think that, like, you go through...
I understand where you're coming from, though. Yeah.
A lot of people, like you said, Mike, when you're young. And, like, it's kind of just the way it goes.
Yeah. Like, my first ex, I still refer to him as the big bad.
Oh, my God. Like, that's so funny. I was literally thinking about a like, not even a hookup that I had with a guy in college. And, like, the way that I fucking behaved... I'm not going to go into it because it's deeply, deeply embarrassing, but like...
Same girl.
Like crazy behavior. But like, I'm fine now. I'm totally normal.
Yeah.
We are strong.
I feel like you guys don't believe
now.
Me.
Yeah, I know. We are strong, powerful people now. And we have control over our emotions.
Exactly.
Unlike everyone in this show.
Yeah. Oh, man. So yeah, Xander says something like, I hope she doesn't do anything crazy, and then cut immediately to a nunnery.
That was really weird.
That was really funny. So Sunnydale has it's got a marina, an airport, 47,000 miles of underground sewers, at least 3 castles, and now a convent?
Yep.
Yes.
Like a missionary?
Like an old school convent that has like a like a courtyard.
Yeah, like what the fuck?
Yeah, it was very strange. And the nuns that wear wimples.
Yeah, that's a word I learned.
Yeah, wimple.
Wimples, that's fun.
Nun hat.
It makes that that flying nun show make a lot more sense now.
Right? I did appreciate how, to go back to more shiny things, that is, Buffy was wearing the shiniest pink shirt I have ever seen in my life.
I don't know what fabric fighting. That is. It's like,
yeah, it was amazing.
Vinyl.
Yes.
It was a mirror.
Just like, just mirror fabric. Totally state of the
art. It was incredible. It was like saran wrap wrapped all over her. It was fantastic. I loved it. I love Buffy's fighting outfits. They're just so good.
Wonderful.
100%. Yeah,
I stopped myself from saying a sleigh pun, so I kept
going. Oh, God.
I kept going.
Do it.
We were good. No, no, it's because she slays, and then
she slays
that was going to be
and slays.
Period.
I slay and slay and slay. You should.
Was the buildup not correct?
Do a bumper, a Buffy bumper sticker.
There you go.
Yeah.
New merch. All right. I'll think about it. Mm.
I also appreciated the recap because I forgot that Spike ratted out Riley.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot that that's how it went down. He's like, yo, let me show you something.
Can we talk about him?
Which
yeah.
one?
Okay, so we're going to talk about Spike and his feelings, his developing feelings for Buffy and how he is so befuddled.
He has some issues.
Yeah, no, I would say they're problematic.
Yeah.
Reactions that he is having, but also he is a vampire.
It's so true.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you find yourself like rooting for this person who is like not good and not a person. And
true.
Then, and
true.
But you're like, no, Spike, pull it back together. Like, he is having a conversation with a mannequin that he is dressed as Buffy.
Yeah, yep. With a blonde wig.
Wearing the lowest high like rise pants on earth.
Hey, you know, early 2000s.
I know.
We all had to deal with it.
But it's like, yeah, on top of like he's like got this like extremely sexualized mannequin. That he sometimes beats
the
shit out of?
Why? Like,
and
oh
he's,
my God.
Yeah.
It's symbolic. I shouldn't say symbolic, but it's representative of, like, him never having to have dealt with feelings.
Yes.
Because the chip has made him stop acting out violently towards people. So he's, like, trying to focus on other things, and this is the only other thing he's realizing that, oh, there's, like, more than just violence and being a typical weird dude.
Right.
And he does not handle it well. There is nothing emotionally mature about how he's
no.
doing it. There is nothing admirable about it. But like, I get it.
That's interesting that you bring it up that it's the fault of the chip. I didn't think about that, but that's a good angle. My brain immediately went to, well, he's been with Drusilla for the last like 300 years.
Yep.
And she's not exactly a great role model for being in a healthy relationship.
True.
So like for him to, he doesn't know how to woo necessarily a normal quote unquote person.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, he is like really, really struggling.
Well, yeah, because like, I guess, you know, before Spike, when he is like, doesn't have the chip and he's with Drusilla, they can just be like fully violent and crazy, but like they do still have all this like intense love for each other.
Yeah.
Even I remember Xander saying like, oh, well, Spike was like, oh, I can't remember what, but made a comment of like something absurd that like to him Drusilla did and he loved it, and Xander was like, well, she was insane.
Yeah.
You know, like,
oh,
friendly
yeah.
reminder,
yeah,
she
yeah.
was not normal, you
yeah
know?
Yes, but like, who's normal in this group, you know? It's not
yeah,
like there's
seriously.
anyone, Like, who's the most normal of the bunch?
Joyce.
Yeah.
So you think Spike... Well, you know, Spike could date Joyce. It's a better age pairing.
And they have such a cute rapport with each other when he's like, I think it was in a different episode when Joyce is like making him cocoa and he's like, yes, give me those little marshmallows. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, and then
so
they watch
cute.
Passions together. And
yes. Oh my god, so cute. We have to talk about that because that's so fucking funny. Is that in this episode or in the next one?
Next one.
Okay.
I'm checking my notes.
Okay, yeah, like, so my notes have to be.
I think the fun thing about like these two episodes, and I guess they're both written, well, one's written just by Jane Espenson, and then the other one's written by her and Doug Petrie. But I think she's kind of like the humor writer, and also seems to be like someone who gets a lot of charge from like funny pairings.
There
of
was a
characters?
Lot of characters.
Yeah.
It was definitely paired off almost all the time. You're right.
Yeah. And like weird, like people who you wouldn't think would be having a conversation with each other.
Yeah. And that's really what the like main through line of this episode is, because it's about Willow and Anya.
Right.
Which, by the way, like I would totally pay money for like a Willow Anya boner comedy road trip movie.
Oh, where they're like a Thelma and Louise, but
romancy.
Yeah. Well, they're driving, like Willow and Anya go off a cliff together.
That's where the Orb of Thessala is. It's after this cliff.
There you go. Yeah, we got to go get it. Yeah.
Yeah, Anya accidentally kills Xander and Willow takes her on the run.
There you go.
But yeah, like, it. I mean, it's like, I understand that like Willow and Anya would have tensions because Anya is rude, like Willow says, and like, just kind of like, sort of careless about everyone but Xander. But also, like, it is not a relationship that has been brewing. Like, there's nothing. I actually thought that I forgot something really important that happened.
And no, was like, it just like came out of nowhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, why are they mad at each other? Like, the thing with Cordelia and Xander and Willow had been like built up for a long time and was like an extremely like well, like written triangle.
Yeah.
100%. 100%.
I think they just really wanted Anya to like fill the Cordelia like vacuum.
Yeah.
And she does. Like she's very sometimes. Good at like being, you know, being blunt and like saying exactly what she thinks when she thinks it, but like this felt a little forced. Yeah.
It's weird cuz it didn't seem to have that height. You know, it didn't seem to have that severity underneath it. Like all of a sudden it just became like this big blistering like wound, and it's like, but it, like, I can understand being like a little miffed, you know, like, ugh, she's annoying, or like, ugh, she fucked up my spell, or like whatever. But it really, I think what bothered me the most was the fact that like Willow and Anya kept asking Xander to validate each other.
Yes.
It's like, oh,
gross.
Make her stop. Make her stop. And it's like, shut the fuck up. Like, like, this is not real.
And the whole, like, my women thing at the end. Oh. Was like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Vom.
Do not Sarah. Need to make Xander feel any more important. Come on. So I need to have, like, a very small, like, Kate's music corner. Because at the Bronze. Okay. I know there are some like recognizable songs when they play, like that they play at the Bronze, but I don't know what was going on at the Bronze that night, but they played There's No Other Way by Blur, followed by Bohemian Like You by the Dandy Warhols. And I was like, what, how did they get these songs?
Wow. The licensing. Yeah. Must have been like dirt cheap.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on. Maybe Blur.
Do we know if that was the original? Like, did they sub out the music?
No, it was like fully the song.
Wow. Because I know, yeah. Like with Daria, right? Like that show, the original music is not the original music. Like it's no longer, if you watch it on other places or I think even the DVDs also. Like,
oh, no, interesting.
No, I see what you mean.
Oh,
I don't know.
Crazy. Like maybe that's not what was
originally
what was playing when it aired.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Whoa.
But I don't know.
I mean, it's possible because I've never noticed it before. And I was like, wow, these are two very recognizable songs that I like.
That's funny. Yeah. So maybe
that are from that time period. I don't know.
That's so interesting.
They didn't have any concerts after the third season, right? Where like there was a recognizable band playing at the Bronze.
I don't know if they play anything.
I don't think
in
there
like
was
season
anybody.
Six.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think they gave up on that being a concert venue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was really more like the high school hangout, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we tried, but
they have beer there and unblooming onions, apparently.
Apparently, yeah.
Which Spike fucking loves. He loves blooming onions.
Can we talk about Troll Man?
Yeah, so, let's talk about Troll.
I guess we could.
Onion Willow, or like Anya fucks up Willow's spell, and instead of conjuring the fucking sun, which Willow wants to do,
which
we'll talk about that.
Doesn't sound like a great idea either.
Sounds
yeah.
really bad, actually. They conjure up a troll. The troll monster is played by an actor named, you guys are going to fucking love this, Abraham Reuben Hercules Ben Ruby. Is this gentleman?
I have
full
seen
name.
This troll before.
Well, yeah, he was on, he got a big part in the TV show Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
That, okay.
He was also in Robot Chicken. So there's the nice. Seth Green connection.
Six degrees of Seth.
And he was in ER.
That's how I know him.
He's the ER dude.
He's the ER guy.
He's the fucking ER dude.
And
yes.
here's a fun bit of trivia. He was a roadie.
Not Clooney,
for,
not the other guy, but.
But
yes.
Abraham Ben Ruby. He was a roadie for No Doubt's first American tour.
Damn. I mean, he's a big man.
He's very, very large. So yes. let's play our game.
How
tall is Abraham Reuben Hercules Ben Ruby? No, guess the age of Abraham Reuben Hercules Ben Ruby. And I am going to say his full name every single time because I think it's fantastic.
I mean, you have the lung capacity because as a singer and a vocalist, like, you can say all of that name. So that's good. Just
it's a good tongue twister. I'm going to keep on tap.
Like, totally. How old was he in the episode?
In the episode,
let's
was probably
do how 40. Old is he now?
64.
Kate, fuck you. You win this game every time.
I never do.
Fuck,
you win it.
I went over.
Shut up. You win it every time.
I
he was
never
born
do.
October 4th, 1969, making him 54.
Damn.
Listeners, check the tape and see how many times Kate wins this game.
I feel
game.
Like I never do.
You always do. So good.
I'm actually the head of the Abraham Ruby Hercules Ben Ruby fan club.
Cool, that's pretty close.
He is 7'8".
No, he's not.
No, I don't know.
Fuck that. Come on.
Yeah, how tall is he?
How would they work out the staging with that, having like 7 feet away in the shot, like, just to make
I'm
him look
look
normal?
Okay.
If I had to guess, he's 6'3".
Kate, you want to like do an actual guess?
Oh, thanks.
6. Mike oh, for me, not good. 7'8". He's 6 foot.
If you get this right, I'm going to scream.
6'7".
No.
Kate,
really?
You were on fire. The man is 6'7".
What
inches.
If I guessed his weight too?
That's it. Logging out. Have
no,
nice
I'm guys. No. I don't know how much he weighs. How heavy is his hammer?
Oh,
hey.
Wow.
Let's
what
talk
kind of
about.
Podcast?
Yeah, wait. Let's talk about when we talk about the troll. We have to talk about that his hammer is his most powerful weapon.
I was
Come
like
on.
The patriarchy.
Come on.
Yeah, right?
Freud. Phone in.
Paging Freud.
His hammer is his most powerful weapon, and he does have a big old fucking Mark's beard. So maybe there's a little symbolism there.
Oh, you think it's that? You think he's like a big communist worker?
He's a big troll communist worker.
I was thinking it was more about how he likes eating babies and fucking virgins.
Yeah. So that was.
I was like, damn.
They made babies like a joke. And I don't know how I feel about that.
It was weird. I was expecting like real like digs, you know, like a troll walked into a bar and ... Like I was waiting for
That'd be funny.
Really cool, stupid jokes, and we didn't get any.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. They could have done it, like, and it's funny because it's like he has such an extensive lore. So the lore of the troll man, his name is Olaf. Mm-hmm. And he apparently dated Anya,
which is amazing. Ex. And Anya, like,
and he cheated
emasculated
on Anya.
Her him.
Yeah, and then that's how she got her job as the vengeance demon. When she was a vengeance demon, she did such a good job vengeancing Olaf that they were like, "Hey, do you want a full time job?"
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of backstory crammed into like three sentences.
Well, they had to because they had to like they had to connect Anya and Willow.
Yeah, they gave so much time to the faux friend triangle thing.
That, yeah, like, right. And so they were like, Olaf was like, "Oh, I hate Anya because she spurned me, and also witches turned me into a troll.
Right.
I was just a normal horrible man before this." So I hate Willow, who's a witch too, and so that gave Willow and Anya something to like bond over, I guess. And I was like, it's a little ham-fisted, but
yeah, because they were mm-hmm. like, ugh, men with their virgin fucking and their ale like, drinking, and their good lord,
and babies is
oh
crazy.
God, how many babies are you gonna eat tonight? Yeah,
no thanks.
It was all very like.
Is that like human tartare? Is that like what?
Oh my God.
Is that
oh
why?
Oh my
they,
God,
why he
Mike, you should come on my other podcast.
Oh Lord.
But it's like, I don't know. It's very like, I want to say something about masculinity and this episode, but it's so dumb. It's just like,
it's weird because like, we, you know, Joss Whedon's known for like not really. Well, actually, you can't say that anymore. At one point,
he's not.
He was at one point. People were like, "Oh, he writes strong women and blah blah." So like, I felt that this episode in particular, but definitely when it comes to like writing for Xander / Riley, and then like Xander / Spike and all that, like he brought out like the worst of all of the guys. Like
yeah.
I don't feel like it was the shining moment for any of them.
Yeah.
I agree. And definitely, yeah, definitely not Spike, because there's a fucking and I
where
watched
he beats the shit out of the mannequin, be like, you're a jealous whore.
Well,
he
beats the shit out of the mannequin, and I'm gonna reference this, and I'm gonna say I'm very conflicted, because on the one hand what he does is very fucked up, but on the other hand he's so cute, he's such a little stinker. I love him. But Spike and Buffy are fighting the troll in the bronze in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And the troll throws Buffy into Spike.
Oh, and he's like
starts feeling Buffy.
Yeah,
up.
Like hold me.
Yeah, in the middle of the troll fight, and then she's like, "Get the fuck off me!" and like pushes him off, and he's got this like shit eating grin, like, "Hey, I got a handful."
I grabbed
baby.
A titty,
and I was like,
"I got some Slayer tit.
I got a tit, yay!" But yeah, I was just like, "Oh man, everybody sucks today."
Yeah,
that was it. That was a perfect summation.
Everybody
sucks
today, including I'm gonna say including Buffy, because she does this fucking wilting flower broken heart thing. Which
she's
is
like,
so
their
fucking
love is not supposed to end. You're like,
it's
only
like
next
Jesus,
season.
What is wrong with you? Like, okay, this could have been a very and there's so many moments that this happens in Buffy and a lot of Joss Whedon. Helmed media where they could like the situation could have been very sincere and very complex and very heartfelt, but because it's played as a fucking joke, it just crumbles.
Yeah.
Buffy obviously is still hurting a lot about Riley.
Mm-hmm.
and still trying to put on a brave face and try to like go through the motions and just like just keep moving forward, because if she stops and thinks about it, she's gonna fucking break down. So like there could have been a moment of like real tender, like, you know, this is really hard for me, blah 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 blah, but and that would have been, that would have hit with like fucking tectonic force, because we've all had situations like that where like you have the most like heart-rending conversation of your life with somebody and then you got to go to fucking work, you know, or something like that. But like they play it as a joke, like, isn't she, you know, fucking hysterical, like in the you know, 1800s medical sense of the term. But I was like, you had a moment to be really like tender and like talk about something, and you just didn't. Again, don't push it over the finish line. And that just made me so upset.
Yeah. I was listening to a thing about how, like, Joss kind of keeps, the reins real tight on all the writers. And, like, how much they're like, oh, well, yeah, that was Joss. Or, like, oh, Joss decided that. And you're just like,
he didn't let the actors improv like at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the right and like the writers had like so much that they had to be like, what about this? And like, yeah, it's so interesting, because it's like, I mean, we talk about this all the time, but like, because this show has been like, I think like wrested from Joss so much.
Subsumed. Yeah.
Yeah. Like because he's such a dipshit, like now it's ours. So, like, because we've talked about this before, like, oh, how do you watch this show and, like, contend with Joss, or, like, contend with, like, the way some of these people are written and whatever? And it's like, well, it's not his show anymore. Like, he, like, we can just be like, you have nothing to do with this. Even though, because he had everything to do with it. So it's like, if you take him out, you can just be like, it's our show. Like, we can read whatever we want into it now, which is pretty cool.
It's the thing about like art being an ensemble piece, you know, like just because his conducting stick was like obnoxious doesn't mean that like something
really
good
happened
on. Do you
mean like his troll hammer?
his metaphor of masculinity. No, like his actual like stupid puppetry of it, like there was real stuff that happened on stage, quote unquote, you know, like there was a performance that happened. So in that sense, you definitely can't take it away from the actors,
right?
So there is that, like they gave so much of their, literally of their life, like what, 7-8 years of this,
was more than that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah
So it's like that is representative of their ambition as well, if not more so, because people weren't like, oh, I love Joss. It's like, no, I love what Joss did and like what they did and like what was created. So I get that idea of trying to reclaim it. It's like goth reclaiming time.
Exactly.
You know, like I don't know how to phrase it differently, but it's definitely that idea of, you know, something good happened, even if there's things that we're shitting on. And, you know, even if the creator had a hand in utter bullshit, there was good stuff.
Yeah. It's just really interesting to see. And there are a couple episodes that are like this, just to like, with the information that you have now, you, and especially this episode for me, I see the show like straining against its reins.
Yeah, the Joss almost stank. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see it like wanting to push or pull away from that, and just not being able to because of the, you know, because it would just fall apart otherwise. But it's just really interesting to see like how like they want to. I see the finish line. I see the like final piece of the puzzle that they want to put together.
Yeah,
but like 4 or 5 pieces are in Joss's hands, and he's not letting them go.
Right. I think also is the actors themselves talking about each other. You know, like there was no real like viciousness, even when it comes to, you know, the notorious like SMG, you know, like Allison Hannigan was like, they worked her so hard. You know, they did so much with the character Buffy, you know, even though there was what we know was, you know, a strain in the dynamic, like they still kind of recognized each other, even if it was not great between each other too. So that also makes it a little more endearing to me.
Yeah, I'm really interested. I haven't seen it yet or like heard it, but I really want to. I'm really interested to get into Slayers.
Me too. Yeah.
I don't know why I keep putting it off. I think there's something in me that like wants to, I need to be like fully present for that. And just the way that my life is right now with like work and everything, I just can't do it. I can't be 100%. So I'm like putting it off until I'm like in a perfect, I need to be in like one of those like, sound dampening chambers that like they put you in water and then close the top. Like,
you know,
like negative sound.
They have those in Philly that you can like,
Hell yeah.
Maybe
the
we should both.
Oh my God.
Yeah, maybe we should rent one or two. I don't need to share one with you.
Yeah, I don't want to share one with you. Sorry.
And we'll just like listen to Slayers in there.
Get a waterproof speaker and just tune in.
Every once in a while, I'll knock on the wall of mine.
Yeah, I'll be like, ding, ding, ding. That fucking ruled.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's so funny.
Oh, God. Yeah, I know. I really want to watch it too. Sometimes I put off things that I like, I'm really excited about.
Yeah. Okay. So you know what I'm talking about.
Like, yeah. It's like it's just so exciting. You just want to like treasure the idea of it for a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Exactly.
There's also knowing the investment of it, you know? Because like there's games I've downloaded that I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I got that. And it's like, I can't start that at 10 o'clock at night. I'm going to die.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
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 So
everything has to be perfect. The time, the location, absolutely. Yep. Your mental state.
I have to be like perfectly moisturized.
Big cup of chamomile tea.
In my lane.
Gotta be fully shaved.
Yeah, ready to go.
I did
just
do my
lying
beard
in bed.
You can't
you
see
did your beard today?
I did. Ooh. You can't see it, but like that was the one thing I came prepared with.
You know what? I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no scratching of
no, it's just like a confidence thing, you know.
Oh,
it's just,
okay,
the way that you carry yourself now.
Hey, thanks. Come
is there anything else we want to say about this weird episode? I just enjoyed the troll just like fucking things up in general, like moving throwing dumpsters around in mailboxes.
He hits the dumpster and he's like, puny receptacle. Like,
yeah. And great. I liked just troll talk was fun too. Just like, where is my ale?
Yes.
Yeah.
Love yeah. it.
My last, or at least the last thing I can consciously think of this,
yes.
I wrote a note of it, was holy shit. I'm so glad that none of those beams are load-bearing beams, because they destroyed
they
that do. Fucking bar.
They
took
did.
Out every beam, everything, and the thing was still standing.
Like, I mean,
wow,
they took down
House
the
Hunters
second
would be so,
level.
Love It or List It? Like, that would be, they would be so impressed, the Love It or List It people. They'd be like, wow,
yeah,
we could really
that
do
is
an
one
open floor plan
well-built bar.
Yeah, I will give it to them.
Good
yeah.
bones.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my God.
But the poor mezzanine.
Oh,
and like,
Lord.
Were they just like leaving people to die?
I guess.
When Spike was like, I'm just making her comfortable. Was it like under with the anticipation that was her final moments? And like, they're just talking about this woman as she's dying. And they're like, don't bite her.
Just, yeah. Oh my God. That was like the most, like, you know, when they do like destruction or like fight scenes and stuff, mm-hmm. like nobody's really imperiled, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking.
You don't have to worry about collateral damage. Ever,
yeah.
Ever.
And in this one they did, I was like, that's kind of out of place for them.
Well, so and like, why can't Buffy pick up some beams?
She does pick
know.
Up some beams.
She does, she but then she can't pick up the beam that woman is dying under.
I don't know. Can't pick up every beam.
I feel like they just used that woman as like a plot device for Buffy to get mad at Spike, because he's like, I'm not going to bite her. Aren't I better, Buffy?
Aren't I, yeah. Aren't I
your good little boy? And she's like,
so wants a pat on the head.
Yeah. And she's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, yeah, she likes it better when he's like not a good little boy.
Uh-oh. That's the basis of season six. And seven.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. Let me loose on those. Anyway.
We are, I'm anticipating. It's great.
All right. So the next episode, I'm going to preface. Leslie told me that.
A little bird told you.
A little bird told me.
Oh.
Wait, I have to find my tweet. I have to find our tweets. I think there is something fundamentally wrong with me. I just decided that I'd let Quentin Travers hit it. LOL. So
that's what I walked in on, right? Oh my god.
I hadn't watched this episode yet. I watched it before, but I hadn't watched it when Leslie sent me this. So so just like think about that as we're talking about the episode.
Do we want to, because I wrote in my notes, I think I'm entering my grandpa era.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Leslie also had it real bad for some karaoke dad at karaoke.
That
a
guy was literally
ago.
A dad because his like 7-year-old daughter was there. They were having a birthday party and I was like, wow.
And you were like, wow, I could be a grandma? Like,
I was like, Leslie, push his wife out of the way.
Oh, God. Anyway. Do you want to talk about Quentin Travers?
Yeah. Okay. Wait. Well, let me open up the tome again.
Okay.
Checkpoint. The Watchers Council arrives in Sunnydale demanding Buffy pass an exhaustive review of her slaying skills, or they will withhold critical information about Glory and have Giles deported back to England.
Yup.
Oh my god. Can you think of anything worse?
No.
With the Tories over there right now? Absolutely not.
I know. Quentin Travers is over there.
Scrooge McDuck.
Yes, maybe not all bad.
Yeah.
So Quentin Travers is played by an actor named Harris Yulin. A Jewish actor.
Who
Harris
is like
Yulin.
One of those guys.
He doesn't have four names though.
Yeah, he doesn't have four names. I'll give you that. So
no,
yeah.
Ruby, Adam. Ben Ruby.
But he was in he was also in Ghostbusters 2 as a very cranky judge.
He's a cranky guy in so many things.
He's very good at being like, yeah, very very stern. He was also in Frasier as a mafia crime boss, which earned him an Emmy nomination. Primetime Emmy nomination.
Crazy.
So how old? So we did last time we did how old is he now? So let's do how old was he when this episode aired?
He was 30.
Even Buffy says like he's at least 60.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, he's British, so.
Aged like fine beans and toast.
Banger and mash.
Bangers and mash.
That's me. That's me.
You're banger and mash? Wait, are you banger or mash?
I don't know what I was trying to say. How old is this man, Kate? How old was this man?
How old was he? 59.
Close. He was born in
57? Was he 57?
Well, he was born in 1937, which let me do my math again. Hang on, because I don't think I did that right.
It sounds like you have an old school, like...
You witnessed World War II.
I have an abacus. Yeah. 64. So Buffy was not too far off.
Yeah. Okay. So she was being
ageist. He's still with us at the ripe old age of 86. So good on
Way
you,
to go.
Harris.
Good yep. For
him. I mean, looking that good. Means Leslie, there's a chance.
I got a chance.
You got a chance.
You can follow your nose to the chondroitin end.
Wow. Harris Yulin, call me.
Get Ginkgo biloba subscription.
Just the ointment aisle. Yes.
Leslie's just hanging out at diners at 4:30 p.m.
At 4 o'clock.
I'm leaning on the wall of my booth.
Oh my god, Leslie's just waiting around at diners for like couples, like for one of them to die.
Stop it!
I just lost all the air, my love.
Oh no!
I just walks over and starts batting their eyelashes.
Like,
hi,
hey.
How's it going? I'm still very much alive.
Is that a Reuben sandwich, or are you just happy to see me? I hate this podcast.
Oh my god!
All I see
right,
you on your
well,
phone. Are you renewing your Coumadin?
Do you have Medicaid Part A and B, or
because I have Part D?
Would you like?
Oh, I have a big D. No.
You guys are the worst.
All right. Well, anyway.
Oh, sorry. So Quentin.
Quentin
oh,
Travers.
Man. Yeah. So yeah, Quentin Travers is part of the Watchers Council. He's the head of the Watchers Council, and they are over here from jolly old England, because Glory is on the move.
She's on the loose.
She's on the loose, and she's just fucking everything up left and right. Dang.
Yeah.
That's what we
well, and nobody with. Knows anything about her.
Yeah, she's so old that she precedes written documentation.
Yeah, and they're just all looking in their like little demon, like, you know, their monster guides.
Yeah.
And they're like, just like, we don't know. Like, mm-hmm. We can't find her.
I did meet Claire, by the way.
No, did you really?
Really?
I did.
Oh,
it was
my God. That's
she was
incredible.
Very, very nice.
At like a convention or what?
Yeah. Yeah, at a Comic-Con.
That's radical.
She's exceedingly hot. In this episode, like with her, like when she sits in the, like in the leather chair with
yeah,
like a
so
poker.
She goes to, yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, so she finds Buffy somehow, even though her doctor friend Ben didn't tell her where
yeah,
she was.
I don't know how she figured that out. It's like
probably
she
a
needed,
motherfucking phone book.
She needed
probably
Ben.
The most ridiculous easy
yeah,
way.
Really.
Ben wouldn't help. One of her minions probably helped.
Oh something, wait, I know yeah. how. I know how, and they never talked about it. Holy shit. She mind fucked the mailman.
Oh,
oh
shit!
My God.
And they never said it, but that's how they did it, didn't they?
That has
You're probably
to be.
Right.
Woo! Oh my God, that's so funny. Why wouldn't they set that up? That's a
Why
perfect
wouldn't...
setup.
They must have edited it out. They must have edited it out.
Jane Espenson.
That is such a good setup. Oh my God.
Wow. God, you are a genius, Mike. I can't believe it. That's great.
I mean, there's things I'm proud of in my life. That's one of them.
I wanted to bring up Glory's. She's wearing like a backless dress.
Yes,
but it also has a cardigan.
Yeah, she's cash. She's totally cash.
But they're both backless.
Yeah. Well, people wore. I feel like in the early 2000s there
Maybe
were
like a bolero,
the world's shortest sweaters.
That's
like,
true.
Like you would wear a sweater that was just a sleeve.
It's
you know
California
I mean?
Also, right? So it's like, I'm cold, but not really. It's California cold.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So maybe
right.
that's
cold.
Part of it.
Mm-hmm. It's like people who wear like a sleeveless dress and a scarf. You know?
Yeah.
That kind of look.
Uh-huh.
It's funny. In all of my notes, I've never once mentioned... Oh, wait. I did mention an article of clothing in one of them. But I've spelt council 17 different ways.
Oh, me too. I never know how to spell
council.
I
do not know how to spell
council.
I
yeah.
feel like there's yeah. like
a
British
Give me
version
a C. Give me
an and
S?
An American or something. Because, like, phones
well,
will take either one.
Well, there's a verb and a noun. Like,
That's
to counsel
true.
Someone is spelled differently than a council.
Oh, and I spelled that wrong too. Like it's not.
Ooh, nice.
Like I have too many variations on this notepad.
Oh, that's funny.
Incredible.
I did mention an article of clothing. It was Riley's hoodie that they discovered while eating Chinese food.
Oh,
oh
yes.
Yeah.
That was the only.
Also,
time
I'd love to know how late they're eating Chinese food that at like a 13-year-old has to be asleep.
Is in bed? Yeah, it's gonna
yeah.
be like midnight.
Oh, well, so we should talk about like the revelation that Dawn
oh, yeah.
has like received at this point.
Cause she,
oh yeah, like, so that Gilmore was the
girl,
end of
like, listened behind the wall.
Yes, yeah. or like Downton Abbey.
That too. Yup. What a plot device.
Yes.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah. So Dawn is starting to realize that she is quote unquote special, or there's something about her.
Yeah, like she doesn't quite know, but she knows that. She knows that, like, Joyce and Giles and Buffy are sort of, like, plotting to protect her.
Yeah, like, she knows that they know something about her that they're not telling her directly.
Yeah, and, like, it's interesting because, like, Glory comes and she's, like, this stranger, like, a total stranger, a sexy stranger who just comes in. And is, just, like...
Yeah. The best strangers.
Yeah, just sitting around with, like, a fireplace poker, being incredibly menacing and hot. And like Dawn walks in and is like, I'm just gonna pick this moment to be like annoyed with Buffy and not so really have a lot of questions about this sexy stranger.
I have to remind you that I'm angsty and teenage. That yeah.
Can I share
purpose.
A confession with you?
Yes.
Sure. We're here for you.
Yeah. In the middle
is
of watching this
trap. Oh no.
No, it's not. I've shared plenty on that. Mm. No, but in the middle of watching this exact scene, my media server crashed.
Oh, shit.
So I could not watch the rest of this episode.
Oh, my God.
I took such good notes. I can make you feel like you did.
Well,
I
had to read the transcript because there's a transcript for every episode online.
Yeah. Mm.
And I just want to point out a funny thing that happened as I was reading. The website that I was reading the transcript from, so I know what happens at the end. Like, I know about the knights and all that shit, and then the very end. But the website censored the words attack, weapon, and kill.
What?
Like, they put an asterisk in the middle of it. And I just thought that was so fucking funny. Because it's like, you're not fucking TikTok, my dude.
Yeah.
You can just put the word. Like, I don't know why that tickled me so.
That is
what
nuts.
What if we'll be censored by the Chinese government?
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're probably right. Oh, my God. Just too funny, though. So, yeah, like Buffy and the Knights of the Byzantine whatever.
Yeah, can you? I actually didn't 100%. Like, maybe that was when I shoved a particularly high amount of food into my face and I didn't quite understand.
Your eyes were glued to the screen.
Yeah, as I was shoveling food in, I don't remember. Like, why do the knights care? They weren't really part of the council stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was like a misdirect, but it wasn't.
Like, they're just invested in the key. It's a different group.
So, yeah, so they're not like the monks who are trying to protect the key. They don't give a shit. They don't want Glory to have it, but they also don't want Buffy to have it.
So they're like, destroy it and we don't care. As long as Glory doesn't have it, we don't care if we have to kill.
I guess. Okay. Yeah.
I guess so.
I suppose so.
But I was confused. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I was like, that's a lot of chainmail. And like, that's
so much chainmail.
Like,
I thought the
kinky.
Watchers Council was like sent them like the way that they kind of like fucked with Buffy last time.
That's smart.
Yeah, and I thought, oh, she's not reliable. Yeah.
Right. I thought Quentin Travers, like when she showed up, it would be that whole thing again where she was like, you motherfucker, you sent five guys in chainmail to kill me.
Interesting.
Like, that would have been a great, I mean, her speech at the end is fantastic. And like, but yeah, I was like, wait, another? Like, random group of people are after
her? Random group of people dressed in, like old-timey medieval shit.
Yeah.
First it was, like Franciscan monks, and now it's literally, like, fucking, like, Monty Python.
I'm like, did these guys come out of a portal, or are they just still doing, like, is there somewhere where this is still happening?
Some other part of fucking Sunnydale that they never talked about.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah, they come from another
cloisters
fourth castle.
Well, there were those guys with no eyes. Or is that later?
That
already happened.
No, that already happened.
The Christmas guys.
Mm. Christmas guys. Yeah, you know.
Christmas time is here. No eyes, my dear.
That was their song. No eyes, my dear.
That's good. Oh, Lord.
But yeah, that kind of stuff always makes me laugh because it's like, ye old Sunnydale. Like, Sunnydale yeah, like, is such a new place, clearly.
Exactly. Like, it's so funny.
Yeah.
Trying to pretend that there was anybody here in, like, the 1200s except for yeah. Native Americans. Like,
right.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, there's Roman, oh like... God. You know, ruins buried under Sunnydale for some it must be some sort of Gaia theory. Just this one part of like Europe cracked off the wrong way and ended yeah. up on like yeah that's how it worked.
Yeah, it's yeah, Pangaea theory. Views.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Not Gaia, Pangaea.
Little floated off.
But yeah, Joyce and Buffy, or Joyce and Spike bonding over passions is pretty literally
so
the cutest
cute.
Shit I've ever seen in my whole life. And it's so funny because I know for a fact that what they're referencing is an actual, like, arc. Narrative
really?
Arc that was on that show where Timmy fell into a well.
Oh, is that the Timmy that fell
the
into
Timmy,
a well?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. 100%.
You always hear about this, like, oh, Timmy fell into the well, but it's...
Well, I think that's a reference to Lassie.
Yeah.
Oh, but, me too. Okay. I thought that was okay.
In Passions, there really was a... I think he was like he was a little person, I want to say, maybe?
No.
They said he was a doll.
Or a child. Well, he was a doll that, like, came to life.
Oh, shit.
That Passions is fucked
oh,
up,
is,
and
is
I
that
wish
like...
you could...
This is that like the
you know
story
what I'm
in a story
about,
because like Dawn being the doll that came to life, so like that was why.
Oh
they
my god,
it.
That's brilliant! You are nice. Coming up with some firecracker
fire.
Shit that we are,
oh.
are
yeah,
and I are clearly not putting together.
Mike is playing like 6D chess.
Yeah, and we're just like, oh, I like it when
and we're like, ah, Quentin Travers, fuck me.
No Aaron Long again. Perfect.
I can't.
Oh, wow. But I didn't know that about passion, so like you filled in the blank.
Oh my God.
So like I was only playing 5¾ chess.
Okay.
And then you made it full on 6.
We should do passions when Buffy is over.
Yes. 100%.
How many seasons are there?
Oh my God. Years and years and years.
Like thousands.
That show went on. Not as long as some daytime soap operas have been on now, but
yeah.
definitely for a good long while.
Okay.
We could also do I'll talk about that after.
We.
We honorary host.
Yes.
Honorary
person here.
Yeah, come.
Oh God.
We could do like Sonic X and cry, cuz like it was that was a show with plot that you're just like,
oh, you're right.
What
yep.
happened?
Yep.
So we could be in awe every episode. Like, it's just wild as hell. They were wild
what
in
happened?
Hell every episode.
I think Henry Kissinger just died.
What?
No fucking way.
Yes! He
no
died!
Way, no way!
Hold on. I gotta look. All right,
everyone.
Oh my God, are we doing this
here.
Air?
We're breaking the news.
I'm clearing out my search for Quentin Travers, looking up Henry.
Henry Kissinger has bit the big one. There's an old guy who can't get it. Whoa!
Wow.
Rest
oh,
in
gonna
piss.
Be a big weekend.
Yes, motherfucker!
And I thought Twitter
big
was
weekend.
I thought Twitter was fun this morning. Who cares about Spotify?
Although Wikipedia was not updated yet.
I do think it's funny, Kate, that you it's a you did do a little like behind the curtain though, in the fact that you were looking at Twitter instead of
no.
being engaged in the podcast.
Listen, it popped up on my phone.
Oh, I see.
My notes are on my phone.
Oh,
and
gotcha,
it popped
gotcha,
up.
Okay.
It was like Henry Kissinger.
Like, how did we not all realize he was a villain earlier? Because on Wikipedia,
oh
the
God.
First thing, born Heinz Alfred Wolfgang Kissinger. Like, that is some evil fucking...
Yeah, that is some
Hail Hydra
some
fucking
red
kind
skull.
Of name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah, same vibe, man. Vibe check was real
oh,
right there. That
wow.
was fucked name, Heinz.
I could give evil. A shit about Buffy right now. I'm just so excited.
I know.
Buffster's going to take a sidestep for a second.
Do we want to wrap it up? Do we have any... other. We've been going for a while anyway. But I'm just so excited right now. Do we have any last minute notes?
There was more doll reference, actually. So now I'm still on my 6D chess. So hold on.
Yeah, okay. I like this, though. I like the doll. There was,
good theory, yeah.
There was a whole thing, again, with a
Little
doll.
Little Miss Muffet.
Because that was, yep, that was the episode that you first asked me on.
Yeah!
Yes! It was meant to be, motherfucker!
This is insane.
Isn't this crazy?
Oh, my God.
Okay, so yeah, there was more doll shit because it was protect the dummy at all costs when they were doing the sparring.
Oh, my God.
Shit.
You're yep. right.
Oh my God.
This is insane.
Yup.
All of this is just coming together.
I love
also,
this.
Glory, I think, was implied that she was Rasputin because they had that whole thing, which I fucking love Rasputin. I love everything about Rasputin because if there was ever a person that was a real life demon that came to fucking Earth,
yeah.
it was probably Ras fucking Sputin. Because,
oh, Buffy. Okay.
Yeah. And okay. In college, in the college course where she was yes. talking to the professor and she got belittled. They were talking about Rasputin, about how many times they tried to fucking kill him and they couldn't kill him.
Yeah.
So I think that was like supposed to imply
Rasputin,
like
Rasputin, lover of the Russian queen.
Yup. Yeah, oh that that was like the person they couldn't kill that was like in charge. So like a god. Like I think that may have been like part of the thing. Especially because the mind powers. The
I
powers
was wondering.
Being, like, Ben is Glory and Glory is Ben, cool. but she had like that power to let you forget.
I was wondering why, like, of all people, Rasputin. Now I just call him Rasputin.
Rasputin.
Yeah.
Rasputin.
Rasputin. Yeah, like, why of all people were they talking about Rasputin?
He had the power to make people forget and to change their mind a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
So she had the power to change mind and to make people forget that she is Ben and Ben is Glory.
Whoa.
Hey.
That's
well
so
we don't
cool.
know that yet, Mike, but everybody knows.
Yeah,
now.
Spoilers. No, I'm just kidding.
Just
yeah, no.
kidding. It say, doesn't
like,
matter.
I asked before, I'm like, tell me about it.
No. Spoilers okay. are fine.
No, it's fine. Okay, okay. We're just teasing.
My
you.
Phone is blowing up.
Yeah, I'm looking at Twitter right now and it's going kind of crazy. So
oh my gosh. It's amazing.
The power speech was also the tits.
Well, yeah, let's talk
yes.
before we go, let's talk about how wonderful Buffy's speech was. Because I think we can tie it to the death of Henry Kissinger. Mike, take it away.
Yeah.
No.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you do it.
6 degrees of Henry Kissinger.
No, but she's like, you know, Buffy is the anarchist and the council is like the
establishment. The
yeah,
bourgeoisie.
They're the old guard. Yeah. They're the bourgeoisie. And
100%,
like
yeah.
she likes to do things with the like she knows that she can't go it alone and like they think that that's how you're supposed to do this because mm-hmm. they don't care about the life of a slayer
no.
slayers are absolutely Expendable. Disposable to them
mm-hmm.
but like that's not what like Buffy's a person and so she's like you know these are my friends I'm a human being this is
yeah
this is my friend Giles these are my friends like Xander and Willow they're important people.
She also says a lot of her speech is about, you know, the people in positions of authority telling her that she is little, that
yes.
she says like they told me I'm a bug, I'm a flea, but she knows that she's more powerful and that they need her more than she needs them.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's an element of yeah, of like, you know, the oppressor like needing the oppressed and knowing that they can't, you know, knowing that they cannot do what they do without them and their like class consciousness.
Yeah, it was very Marxist in that idea of like seizing the, mm-hmm. the means. Like it was like, no, you need me. Like this is the reason why this whole fucking thing exists.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be taken advantage of. I'm not going to be manipulated. Help me or
yeah.
not. Like that's
yeah.
fucking
she says.
It.
She says, you're watchers. Like, all you do is watch. You're not, you can't stop, Glory.
Yeah,
you can't
do
what I
you're
do.
You're not workers like us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here are my demands, and I'm actually forming a union of the Scoobies.
Oh, shit!
It's true. It was 100%
and she
true.
And she gets Giles back his fucking full salary with
I
back
mean,
pay.
You're kind of... You are kind of right. It was union negotiations.
They seized the means of slaying production.
Yes.
100%.
You're right. Oh my God. And so this all connects back to the fascist, imperialist, fuck, Henry Kissinger.
Everyone gives the middle finger out towards the sky. Well, really,
rest
towards the floor.
Rest in piss, baby.
Rest in piss.
Join Reagan, motherfucker.
Yes.
Okay. Very, very end, and then we'll wrap up. Quentin Travers is like, sure, we'll give Giles his job back with pay, and we'll give you what you want. And Buffy says, tell me what kind of demon it is. And
Travis says,
the cliffhanger.
Glory is not a demon. Glory is a god. Boom.
Yep.
Yes.
And it was fucking LA Law and Order, rather. It was dong dong. Like
like cliffhanger.
I forgot how much watching, like, cause you know, now we all know we've watched it before, but the first time I watched Buffy, like, I forgot how much that was like a dong dong.
A huge moment.
You know, you were like, oh fuck. That's why, like, you can't find any information about her.
Yeah, and that's why she has been so powerful to, like, just lay Buffy the fuck out twice in a row. Like, yeah.
Did the bus scene happen already? Did she get... Oh, okay.
Bus scene's not happened yet, no.
Not yet. Oh, man. It's coming. That's quite a
scene. It's coming.
Yeah.
I was like, because Mean Girls owes Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Is that a reference?
It's really? Not. I thought it was. I interpreted it as such.
I don't know. It's totally plausible.
Oh, one thing that we didn't mention that I was really annoyed at, but just quick, just to get it off my chest, where everyone was like, yeah, we did it, gang. And they were all like cheering and like high-fiving about the whole, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I was happy for you guys. And now you ruined it. I totally got bitchy with it. I'm like, ah. Guys.
You're like, you dorks. I'm like, don't show your hand.
Yeah. Seriously.
Like, we did it. I'm like, shut up. Cool. But anyway, so yeah. not a demon, but a god.
But a god.
In a dun, world dun. Where glory is a god.
Oh,
one
man.
Series finale that actually turned into two more seasons. will be revealed.
Dude. Oh man, what a tremendous episode this was in so many ways.
Yeah.
Mike, thank you again so much for coming on. You were a treasure.
Fucking love you guys.
And it's just
We love you.
It's a delight. Yes.
Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. Do you have anything going on? You got any projects going on or anything you want to plug?
I'm gonna do like a year in review type thing where, like, you know, I'll plug some of my things. I became the singing voice for a plumbing company in Atlanta.
Hey. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So they did, like, millennial pandering, like, parody stuff, and they needed people to sing it. And I did two out of their three campaigns. So that's going to be releasing. So if any of y'all in Atlanta may have heard me sing.
That's so cool.
Tune your radios in, man.
So fucking cool. I was so stoked. I was like, they hired. So it was so cool.
That's radical.
What else? There's stuff with an audio drama that didn't come out yet called I Married a Monster on a Hill. I don't know if that's really a Taylor Swift reference or not. I don't think it is. But let's pretend it is, guys.
I think it might be. I think it might be.
Let's get the Swifties in on this. It's queer. Yeah. It's so great. It's a wonderful little bunch of stories. I can't wait for them all to be started.
Yeah,
you know,
I've seen the art for it, and it's really fucking adorable.
It's so cute.
I'm, like, really excited to
The stories are very cute. I'm Conrad, and I'm this ex-military guy. And, like, he's very fun dude. Loves frogs. Very, very cute stuff. So yeah, that's going to be coming out soon too. And otherwise, I don't know. You guys are awesome and busy and kicking ass too. So, like,
aww.
We'll have to have you on for maybe a Fangs flick. We'll pick.
Oh my God, yeah.
We'll pick a flick.
Hell's yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay.
And then, Mike, have you seen Angel?
I have.
Do you think that Leslie should watch Angel?
Okay. So if you're emotionally prepared for Angel, right, you can do it. So here's how I can emotionally prepare you for it. So there's a really good episode. Then there's two okay episodes a one really weird episode and a god awful episode. And that cycle of five repeats over and over and over and over and over.
Pattern.
And over and
okay.
Over again. So if you're okay with that.
Kind of like Naruto. Yeah, I get it.
I don't know. Like sometimes you lose track of the overlying arc. But yeah, as long as you're prepared for that, you're good. Because there was a bunch of really cool stuff, and there was like things you're like, and you just become like SpongeBob in Sandy's, you know, little thing. It's like, and you're just having trouble breathing, but you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it.
You are gonna make it to the next one. Because in the next one, Angel is a puppet.
Yes, that happened. It happened.
Okay,
so was Spike.
It happens.
I'm into it.
So good. But yeah,
I swear I will. But okay. You know.
The theme song, so pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Love that theme song. Sanctuary. I forgot who did it, but that's
it's similar to, yeah, it feels like a continuation of Buffy, like the song.
Yeah.
You know, also the show. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why.
Mean, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure why.
Not sure why. A couple of characters here and there. Some weird things.
Oh, awesome.
Wolfram and Hart.
Oh, so good.
Anyways,
so you can check out all of our stuff, social media links to the show in your podcatching app of choice, and also links to our Patreon, where we will post another After Dark here pretty soon.
Woo!
And just shoot the shit. And yeah, check it all out if you go to fangs.zone. So get in the zone. The fang zone.
Get into it.
And
that means biting. Getting into the fang zone.
Getting into the fang zone. I think it's got some teeth to it.
Hey.
We'll catch you next time.
We're walking over here in our podcast.
I'm biting over here.
You think you're a big shot.
Hey, yo.
Hey. See you, suckers.
See you, suckers.
Finger snaps, you know. Finger guns. We're out.
What a wild ep.